Blog Talk Radio.
As the 2020-21 school year begins, this is our first podcast in the Align for Life podcast series for the new school year, so it's great to get things going again. Hi, everybody. This is Jim Mitchell. And as we start things off, of course, we're entering into somewhat unprecedented times due to the COVID-19 pandemic that shut down the school year in spring, and we're starting under those conditions again, but doing everything possible to reduce the risk and bring everyone safely back to the school. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And I'm very excited because joining me for the first time for all of you to get to know is Pamela Kelly, who is the new school nurse, first time St. Vitus had a school nurse, and it's perfect timing, and we've got a lot to talk about. So, Pamela, first of all, welcome, and I certainly appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim. I'm very excited to join the St. Vitus family.
We get the opportunity to meet you as students come back, but for everyone who might be listening for the first time today, can you give us a little bit about your background?
Sure. I've been a nurse since 2005. I graduated with my bachelor's from St. Mary's College in Notre Dame, Indiana. I have my Master's of Science in Nursing with an additional focus in Emergency Planning and Disaster Management from Benedictine University. I've primarily worked in perioperative areas, infection control and infectious disease. While in perioperative and operative procedures, my specialty was cardiovascular and thoracic transplant. And then when I moved into infectious disease and infection control, that primarily focused on construction and, again, the perioperative areas and everything that fell into the day-to-day that. And I have worked in those two capacities at Rush University Medical Center and also Loyola University Medical Center.
Well, we're fortunate to have someone with that background join us, and we hope that you get settled quickly. I know you've been doing a lot. We want to focus, first of all, on talking about the safety and the procedures being put in place to bring faculty and students back to our building this year. What should families know and expect, just in general terms, first of all, in terms of precautions being taken and things that we should all be aware of as the school year starts?
So this school year is, of course, not going to look like any previous school year. With the climate with COVID-19, we all need to take responsibility for our own actions more so than we ever had before. That means reduce the risk, which everyone has now dubbed my tagline of. You will hear me say it a lot of times, reduce the risk, reduce the risk. What restaurants have used is covered places. Covered faces mean open places. That mask is your first line of defense. You are your first line of defense. What families need to know is that there are going to be wellness checks performed on every single person that enters St. Viator School. It's going to involve a form that we have set up through Google Docs that they will scan a QR code. One is for employees, one is for visitors, and one is for students. And then they will answer the standard COVID screening questions that you've seen just about everywhere. And then we will also take a real-time temperature at the door. That will then populate to a Google form that I have that I review then every day.
Okay. Now, as students come back, this will be new to everyone, so I'm sure we all have to expect a little bottleneck the first couple of days as we work it all out. But in general, that process, if people fill out the form, walk in, get the temperature taken, they enter that, should be kind of a clean and quick process to get everyone in the building.
Yes, that's correct. And we have multiple people at each of the doors that will be open in order to facilitate moving along as quickly as possible.
So let's say that, that's a great place for us to start, but let's back up even one step further in terms of, starting the day at home. As students get up, they're at home, should they be looking for symptoms? And is it real important that if they do feel a little something, notice a little something, that maybe that's the day they don't come in?
Yes. If you are sick, this is not the year to try to push through and say, oh, I can make it, I can make it. If you are not feeling well, please, by all means, stay home. Kind of just assess yourself on a daily basis. You know if you are an asthmatic and you have a routine cough, if there's a difference in your baseline that morning when you wake up or if it is your standard cough. something where you just kind of need to be in touch with yourself and with your own health of knowing, is this normal for me or is this something where I'm actually sick and should be staying home? Before leaving for school, we also need to make sure that everybody has two masks with them. Inevitably, somebody will sneeze in their mask at one time or another. Sometimes you can tough it out where it's not a messy sneeze, and other times you really want to change that mask and you want to be able to have a secondary mask available to you. Those masks at home also, if they are reusable, need to be washed at the end of the day.
And there are different types of masks out there. You mentioned reusable, washable. Just give us a quick overview of the types of masks, and is there anyone that you would recommend more than another at this point?
There's currently three types of masks that are approved. There is the surgical style disposable mask, which you will see it's a light blue typically. There are multiple versions of cloth reusable masks. And then there are the gator style masks. My best recommendation for everyone is to choose the style that you feel that you are the most comfortable in and that you can wear the longest. I alternate back and forth between just about all of them.
And wearing the mask is essential for everyone in the building throughout the day. That will be checked, obviously, before people walk in. I want to circle back, though. You mentioned that that form that gets filled out with the temperature at the door, all that data is going to come through to you every day?
That is correct, and I have a time stamp as to what time they've submitted the form, how they have answered questions, and also what the temperature is. There are hard stops that are developed within that form for me to assess individuals, again, should it be a change from their normal baseline.
And what are you looking for in terms of that cumulative data? Is this helping contact tracing if that becomes an issue?
It does. If we do have someone where I need to perform contact tracing, it allows me to be able to track which door they came in, who they came in with, and then be able to track out from 15 minutes at when that person entered to everyone else that came in within 15 minutes of them.
Now, once we get students, faculty, and staff in the building every day, they're going to be here for obviously the majority of the day. We've done a good job, hopefully, of checking them in. What about during the day? I know we're limiting class sizes. What else is being done to try and keep everyone safe within the building itself?
Within the building itself, we are going to be instituting, you know, like you had said, block scheduling. That allows us to try to keep the number of students that they interact with to a minimum. For lunch hours, it is going to be rolling out lunch hours with some of the classes having class before, then lunch, then class after. And it's going to be assigned seating for lunch and also for all of those classes. Again, allowing me to know who has been around whom and to trace those should we need them. The passing periods will be a little bit different too. Right now we're looking at releasing one row of kids from each classroom 20 to 30 seconds apart so that hopefully some kids can get from one place to the other and not all be in the hallway at the exact same time. The kids will then be asked to disinfect their desks after they're sitting there to help cut down on any infection by reducing the risk.
And how about just, you know, those basics of washing hands and hand sanitizer? I mean, that's not something we can lose sight of at this point, right?
No, not at all. The best thing you can do is protect yourself and wash your hands, whether that is with alcohol hand sanitizer or whether it's washing your hands in the bathrooms. There will be bathroom restrictions where there cannot be more than three people in there at a time in order to properly adhere to social distancing and risk reduction. If your hands are visibly soiled, you need to wash them with soap and water. It does not necessarily have to be hot water. It is the friction. And we recommend singing Happy Birthday to You twice because it's about 20 seconds that then you're washing your hands.
Perfect. We're really having a great conversation today with Pamela Kelly, who is the new school nurse at St. Viator, as we kick off our podcast series for the year. And a lot of information available online. There's a great deal of communication, and quite frankly, things are changing rapidly, so we want to keep everyone informed. And I know Pamela will be providing updates on how to reduce the risk and manage what goes on in the school and hopefully in every possible way to keep students safe once they are back in here. Everyone obviously has concerns of what are we looking for? How do we know if we're being successful? Do you have a certain set of metrics, Pamela, that you're going to use to say we're on the right track or to maybe raise a little bit of a yellow or red flag to administration if things are happening off track?
I do. That's actually something that I've been developing in the couple of weeks since I started, of developing a metrics of what do we do if we have a positive, if we have two positives, and so forth, and at what point do we say we're switching to e-learning. I'm hopeful that we don't get to that point, but it's something that we need to have in place, looking at what is going on with us globally. So I am have that metrics ready. I'm also monitoring the positivity rates for St. Viator. St. Viator is unique in that we can't base it off of one region, as we pull from five different counties, which then goes into three different regions as set by Governor Pritzker. I look at each of those three regions' individual positivity rates each day, put them into a form that then gives me the average of those three regions' positivity rates to give us a St. Viator positivity rate. Much like the Illinois Department of Public Health, the 8% mark is the fail-safe for when we have a large problem. And I keep an eye on that as well on a daily basis as to where we are trending at with our positivity rates, and all of the administration has access to those numbers regularly.
Now, once people are in the school for a day, obviously, you know, we've all had days, you get part of the way through the day and suddenly you're not feeling well. If students start to exhibit some symptoms, or once they're here, feel a little bit different, what steps should they take?
So the first step is to notify an adult, whether that is the teacher, whether it's your lunch monitor, dean, whomever, and then they will be sent to the isolation room that we have established here at St. Viator High School, where I will then assess the student to see if it's something like cold, allergies, fatigue, or if it is suspected COVID, where then I will call the parents to come and pick up the child or to allow the child to drive home. If it's something where I think it's an emergency situation, we will be calling 911 and going from there. However, the thing to remember with COVID is that it mimics a lot of your regular cold and flu symptoms that you're going to be seeing coming shortly around the corner. So it's one of those symptoms that you kind of have to rule out and kind of assess. And again, I go back to the baseline of what is normal. If you have a kid that has bronchitis and they've been diagnosed with bronchitis, they may have a cough that's just a continuation of the bronchitis and it's not actually COVID. So those will all be assessed on a case-by-case basis by myself.
And we've got just a couple of minutes left here. Obviously, we hear every day the numbers of tests in Illinois and the positivity rate that goes along with that. We talk a lot about asymptomatic individuals. Do you recommend should kids all go get a test before they come into school, or if and when they think they need a test, is there a better place to go? How do you help direct us in terms of getting testing done?
As far as getting testing done, that's up to each individual family and each individual on their own terms. If they're not exhibiting symptoms or haven't been exposed to someone that is a known COVID-19 carrier. As far as where they can go and get tests, I am happy to provide all of the addresses that are the current testing sites and to go from there. But there won't be any tests that are being done specifically at St. Viator High School.
All right, so we got a lot of things to talk about with you in the weeks ahead. I'm looking forward to having more conversations with you. In the interim, beyond even just COVID, a number of students have certain conditions that they need to address. Should students, parents just get in touch with you ahead of school, or what's the best way to talk to you about different things going on with students?
Call or email me, or if you're here, I am more than happy to speak to you in person, of course, socially distanced with masks on. But I am available should any parents or students or staff members need to speak with me.
Excellent. Well, we're going to do that certainly as the year goes on. I want to thank Pamela Kelly for being with us today. Great conversation, and we're just really, really fortunate to have her as a part of the staff this year at St. Viator High School. So we'll look forward to learning more from her and following her lead to reduce the risk so that we can have a very successful not only start to the school year, but hopefully a full school year ahead that is successful for everyone involved. We'll have plenty more conversations, of course, coming up each week here on the Align for Life podcast. We look forward to having you join us, and thanks so much for being with us today.